Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Jizo An Zen Community's Dharma Talks. We are happy to make these recordings available to you. Please consider making a one-time or recurring donation via the link on our webpage found under Become a Member. We thank you wholeheartedly. Gassho.
The original practice of the Buddha under the Bodhi tree, the treasure of naked and unadorned sitting, was transmitted from India to China, from China to Japan, and during the past century, it has reached on our Western world. This treasure is within everyone's reach, yet few understand it and live its vibrant unfolding. While it only takes our human body and our life as it is to discover it, at the same time the practice, which is an endless journey, is one of the most difficult. Zen has something to teach you. What you have been searching for is within reach. Indeed, it has never been closer. Indeed, it has never been far. Your whole life, it has been with you. And you have spent a lifetime looking for it. You may even have come to a point of anxious exhaustion, feeling as if the search has worn you out. If I ask you, what is it that you're looking for? How would you answer? Maybe you cannot answer. Maybe you will offer an abstract word like happiness or peace. What do these words mean to you? Where can they be found? What do we search and yearn in the first place? What is it that drives us in the endless quest? Is it some lack? Some feeling that there's something missing from our lives? Some deep dissatisfaction or profound disillusionment with seeing things as they are? What is your reason for seeking then? What has set you out on this journey? It is worth looking closely at this question. Allow it to reveal itself to you over time. Just look at it without judgment. Eventually, it will show itself. It seems to me now that this dukkha, this dissatisfaction, is itself the gift of practice. And this insert of this reading is from the book, Do Not Try to Become a Buddha, by Myozan Yan Kilroy. So good evening, everyone, again, and thank you. Thank you so much for being here with us tonight for our first program, a formal program of the month of August. As many of you might know, I was just recently ordained as a monk. This happened a few months ago, June 22nd. even though I have been following this path and I have been observing the senior monks go through the rituals and through the teachings, it's definitely not the same to watch than to actually be sitting in front of all of you. But this teaching that I prepared tonight comes from a lot of love, and it's an honor to be here and to be able to provide or offer this teaching tonight. Initially, when I sat here, I have sat here before when we were doing presentations, but tonight it felt differently. It actually felt very small. I'm petite, so I'm already small, but I don't know, I'm usually in that corner and I feel very cozy there. and now being here in front of all of you, I was just, as I was meditating, I was taking in the feelings. It also a little, I feel a little nervous, I have to be honest with you. I just put it out there because that helped me feel better. But I know we are in a safe place, so that gives me comfort and makes me feel good. So the topic that I chose to share with you tonight is called The Significance of Taking Refuge. And I offer this teaching based on my understanding of what it means and my own personal experience. So let's start just by the definition of refuge. In Pali, taking refuge literally means the act of returning to a place of sanctuary. And I'm gonna pause here because there was a word as I was practicing the teaching and I read this, a word that caught my eye here was when it says it's an act of returning. So what does that mean? For me, it means then that it is something where we come from. It's something that belongs to us. It's something that we are. So when we are looking for refuge, it is to find safety, peace, and protection. When we are fully honest with ourselves, we can admit that seeking refuge is actually a very typical behavior in our lives. If we look for a definition of refuge in the dictionary, it's also defined as a condition of being safe or sheltered for pursuit, danger, or trouble. Seeking shelter or refuge is an active process. It requires awareness so that we can be sincere with ourselves as of why we're seeking refuge. At times, and I'm not judging here, but at times people look for refuge in places or activities that do not really fulfill their emotional or spiritual needs. We can witness many beings taking refuge in drugs, excessive entertainment, social media platforms, money, work, shopping, gaming, and gambling, just to mention some. So, where are you searching for refuge? When I encountered this path, I knew that there was a void in me. It was as if a piece of me was missing. Finding refuge in the three jewels, the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, has definitely fulfilled this void. While writing this teaching, I recall how I went about this personal journey. I clearly remember being at work. I had a little break and I was scrolling through the internet. I was looking for spiritual retreats. I have been reading books that had to do with spirituality. I always have talks about Buddhism with Donen because he started to learn about Buddhism a long time ago. But then eventually Donen started to attend Pine Wind. And about close to a year after him attending Pine Wind, I decided to visit. I said, you know what? I think I want to see what that place is all about. And he will always share, like I was always curious and I will always ask him, what did the Roshi talk tonight? So he will share, those nuggets of information and wisdom. And after I visited that one day, I stayed. I knew that, that place was the place that I was looking for. It was the community that was missing in my life. And, I became part of this amazing community. I think it is imperative that we understand that when we firmly take refuge, we are opening our eyes and heart to the whole of the teachings, not just the parts we find convenient. And that can be hard. We have the tendency of picking and choosing, right? I like this, I dislike that. So when we embrace this, when we take this path, there's none of that. It's gonna happen, but we are vigilant and we know when it's showing up and we don't fall for that. Furthermore, it is a commitment born of reflection and investigation. This is why it is a never-ending path, and there is no goal to reach. I'm gonna cite this portion from Christina Feldman. She wrote in an article in Lion Roar, and she says that taking refuge in the three jewels is an inner journey, coming home to what is true. It is a profound act of devotion and inner commitment to a clear mind, an open heart, and a way of engaging life with integrity, respect, and compassion. If our commitment is profound, we give ourselves unreservedly to a life of mindfulness, to bringing all that is true and healing into every aspect of our life. If our devotion is wholeheartedly, we align our thoughts, words, and acts with the teachings that lead to liberation. What is the meaning of finding refuge in the Buddha? So that's the first jewel, the Buddha. So let us begin by recalling the story of the historical Buddha. Siddhartha Gautama had an inquisitive experience when he witnessed old age, illness, and death. He decided to leave the comfort of his life. We all know that he was a prince, that he lived in a palace, so he had everything that he needed. So he left that life, but he also left his wife and his only son. When I learned that he had left his wife and a newborn child, I have to be honest, but part of me judged him. I guess I couldn't understand, you know, and being a parent and a wife, I couldn't understand how he could abandon two people who depended on him. However, I now can see that this was a sacrifice he had to make, and one that has benefited many, many, many of us. Furthermore, we can reflect on his decision and realize that his sacrifice was for the benefit of his own family as well. He made this decision out of love and compassion for all the many beings. The Buddha, the personification of an awakening being, taught us to tap into our own Buddha nature, into this infinite love, kindness, and compassion that dwells in each one of us. He taught us that all we need is already within us, but due to our conditioning, we have forgotten who we really are. Tapping into this infinite source of power is what will help each one of us to remain committed to our practice, to this path. Understanding and actualizing this allow us to face life's challenges while finding ways to connect to others and share the beauty of this path. It means taking upon ourselves the willingness and responsibility to embody our Buddha nature. And that is a quote also from Christina Feldman. And I'm gonna read it again because I think this is very profound. It says, it means taking upon ourselves the willingness and responsibility. So it comes from something that we want to do. It's not imposed. Something that we decide, this is what I want to do. But then with that comes another piece, that piece of responsibility to embody this Buddha nature, to come in contact with that Buddha nature, and to show that Buddha nature out in the world. Embracing this path means taking responsibility for our lives and for humanity. And that sounds big, but it is big. It is big. I'm taking responsibility for my own life, but also at the same time, seeing what is needed of me out there in the world. When we decide to break away from our conditioning, we are deciding to put all of our effort, time, and dedication to make this radical change. Again, it's not easy. We're breaking away from a conditioning of a lifetime. So it will take a long time, but as we continue, we see that it is possible. This practice goes against the general norms or values of this society that is led by individualism, competition, and accumulation of wealth. We also need to remember that we are enough. We have adopted this notion of lacking, and we have been sold the idea that by having more, we fulfill this lack of. This is such a big lie that has been introduced to us by capitalism. When we share our wisdom, love, and kindness, we are all richer, happier, and wiser. Then we can see the reality in front of us and live a meaningful life. It is also paramount to mention that when Siddhartha Gautama embraced his journey, we know that he encountered many, many challenges. We know it wasn't easy. We know what he went through. However, his effort and perseverance made it possible for him to realize the middle way. When he sat under the Bodhi tree, the Buddha tapped into an understanding beyond the intellect, and he has shared this gift with all humanity. This path, we know, is not easy, but it's so fulfilling and liberating. So now we're going to go to this, the second jewel, the second refuge, which is the Dharma. So the Dharma is the second force we can depend on in this liberating path. We have learned that the Dharma is everywhere, but why we so often miss it? If it's there, it's everywhere. It comes to us in many different forms. Why so often we miss that Dharma? For me, it's simply because we are distracted and constantly bombarded and overloaded with information. And a lot of that information that we get is garbage. It's just information that, you know, it doesn't have any true purpose, but it keeps coming to us. We're so often consumed by activities and by doing that we forget to be. When we trust the Dharma, we're able to navigate this life with more ease. The Dharma is the path that leads to the realization of our Buddha nature. I'm going to repeat that again. The Dharma is the path that leads to the realization of our Buddha nature. So that's how we reconnect with our being, our pure being. The core teaching of the Buddha, or the Four Noble Truths, are the teachings that will help us navigate this journey or go through this journey. Just a brief review. Let us remember that life is characterized by dissatisfaction, and that there is a cause for that dissatisfaction or suffering, you know, is attachments, and that there is a way to transform this dissatisfaction and to liberate ourselves. And this is the way, and this way is the prescription of the Eightfold Noble Path. When we live by the Dharma and we apply these teachings to our daily life, we have access to living freely and with more ease. We can navigate the myriad of challenges and difficulties without becoming fully absorbed or lost in them. So this doesn't mean that we're not going to have challenges. This doesn't mean that we're not going to lose it here and there, that we're not going to get angry. It just means that we can return from those states. It means that we're not fully lost, and that we don't become absorbed in those situations. We can start to trust in that the suffering will pass because we understand the nature of impermanence. Even though a situation can be really, really hard and really difficult, and we feel that it will never reach an end, it will. It will pass. We just have to learn how to be with those situations, how to reach out for help, how to be present, and we will be able to overcome those challenges. The liberation of letting go and not being attached to things or situations as we want them to be. We also actualize that we are all interconnected and interdependent. And this is such a big realization. It takes time, but when we realize that, we don't see others as others, that separation stops to exist. We see everyone as part of who we are. We see how the suffering of others also affects me. So seeing reality for what it actually is allows us to uncover our wisdom, infinite love, and an open heart that can hold the suffering of the oppressed, marginalized, and discriminated. We learn to value what is meaningful and important in our lives. There will be times in which we might get confused and taken away by situations, but when we follow this path, we find the way again and again, and that is not a failure. That is a success. To be able to find our way, that is what we're supposed to do. Also, the third jewel or the Sangha are here to support us in this path. No one can walk this path alone. And nobody can walk the path for us. It's something that each one of us has to do, but we know that we're not alone. We know that we can count with this Sangha, with this community to support us. This path gives us true purpose. And I'm gonna cite again right now, Christina Feldman. She says, when we are generous with our time, attention, and love, we embody the Dharma. When we resolve to be truthful, to treasure a clear mind, and to engage the world with respect and appreciation, we live the Dharma. We come to know the wisdom of a Buddha when the Dharma is our life and our life is the Dharma. It is a commitment not to an ideology, dogma, or belief system, but to our own Buddha nature. And that is so empowering. You know, always coming here to offer and to give what we have, which is precious. Now we're gonna go to the third refuge, which is the Sangha, or the community of those who are awakening and embodying wisdom. It's our last refuge, but not least important. If there's something that we are currently witnessing more of, it is the importance of the collective. And I think all of this happened more, I think that's when there was an awakening after COVID. I think that's when the collective, when people started to realize that we needed one another more than ever. So is there something that we're currently witnessing more of is the importance of the collective. This nation for the longest time has emphasized individualism, right? It's like, you know, the self, the person, the individual as the source of success, achievement, and happiness. However, social movements are seeing now what the Buddha taught over 2,500 years ago. We cannot expect to live a fulfilling life unless it's in community, being of service and supporting one another. For me, that's the only way through which we will be able to transform our experiences. We're not alone, and we cannot walk this path without guidance and support. If we think that that's the way, we're very wrong. When we feel confused, disoriented, and consumed by the world, we can reach to our Sangha, our support system. We help one another remember our Buddha nature, to remember the Dharma and the Four Noble Truths. We reach out to our open-hearted and like-minded community. Furthermore, There are some followers of the way who believe that the next Buddha will be a Sangha. This actually makes a lot of sense to me. Carrying this mission and responsibility in a world that is so vast requires that the teachings and the evolution of this practice be shared by a Sangha. Ego is easier to maintain at bay when we count on the vigilance of the group of people sharing the same passion and desire of making this world more just, compassionate, kind, giving, and loving. The noble Sangha also reminds us of our vows and deep commitment to this path. So in conclusion, making the wise and brave decision to engage in this path and formally take refuge is what personally has kept me grounded, motivated, engaged, hopeful, and committed to live by the Bodhisattva vows.